like tonight to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, and also chapter 5. In chapter 4, we like to read verses 13 through verse 21. And then in chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 40 through verse 42. But in Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 21, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Now when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Then in Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. By way of background, back in chapter 3, first 10 verses, we have record of Peter and John healing a lame man who sat at the gate of the temple. Then in verses 11 through 26 of chapter 3, we see Peter and John in the temple, Solomon's porch, speaking to the people a message that exalted Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 4, the first four verses, we see that opposition arises. Peter and John are arrested or held. And in verses 5 through 22, they are brought before the Sanhedrin. And they were told there not to preach the name of Jesus anymore, and then they were set free. We see that there in verses 18 through verse 21. Then in chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, we see them back in Solomon's porch healing the sick. And then in verse 5 and 17, we see the religious leaders are become infuriated and arrest Peter and John again. Notice Acts 5, verse 17 and 18. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. And then in verses 19 and 20, we see the Lord sets Peter and John free and sends them back into the temple with the instruction in verse 20, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And then in verses 22 through 25, we see when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one of them and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people," that is, doing exactly what you told them not to do, doing exactly what you threatened them with. So they're back in the temple preaching Jesus Christ. And they are arrested again in verses 27 through verse 29. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And then in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, we see that they are beaten, commanded once again to stop doing what they were doing. And the response we see in verses 41 and verse 42. So what we want to notice tonight is that these early members of the first church had something that God's people desperately need today. They had a spiritual audacity. We need that today. And that is what I'd like to speak upon this evening, spiritual audacity. The primary meaning of audacity is the willingness to take bold risk. The willingness to take bold risk. Audacity is boldness. Audacity is fearlessness. It's courage. It's grit. Audacity is backbone. It's fortitude. It's resilience. It is resolve, toughness, steadfastness, determination, perseverance, and endurance. And these early members of the first church, they had this. They had this spiritual audacity, and they had an audacity to take risk for what they believed. They were willing to lay down their lives for what they believe. Now, the secondary meaning of audacity is rude or disrespectful behavior. We're focusing tonight, when we speak of our need for spiritual audacity, we're not speaking of the secondary meaning of the word, but we're speaking of the primary meaning of that word, audacity. And these early members of the first church, they possessed and they displayed a spiritual audacity, and such is greatly needed. Such is greatly needed today in the lives of God's people. Such is needed today in the churches of Lord Jesus Christ. We see, first of all, that these individuals lived in very difficult times. They lived in a time when hatred for Jesus Christ was very open. Hatred for the things of Christ was very open. They lived in a time of great disdain, a time of great hostility and opposition toward the things of Jesus Christ. And the hatred and the disdain and the hostility and opposition had risen to such a level, of course, that they had crucified Jesus Christ. And they continued to hate everything that Christ ever stood for. They continued to oppose everything that Christ ever preached or taught. And this was true both in the secular world, and this was true in the religious world as well. Both the secular world and the religious world were living in the darkness of ignorance. They were ignorant of God's plan of righteousness. They were ignorant of God Himself, and they had set up their own standards of righteousness, and they would not submit themselves to God, and they continually rejected the prophets of God and the message of God, and they continued to go about establishing their own ways, and the devil's agenda was being promoted, and both the secular and religious world were making an all-out attempt to silence the truth that Jesus Christ had so faithfully preached during his earthly ministry. And it was in the midst of all this that the Lord had a remnant of faithful people. Not only a faithful people, but a people who had spiritual audacity, spiritual courage. And we too live in very difficult times. We live in times of spiritual and moral ignorance, times of outward hatred for the truth, outward disdain and hostility and much opposition toward everything that Jesus Christ represents. And we too live in a time when the devil's agenda is being promoted, and those who promote the devil's agenda are becoming more and more bold and are becoming more and more relentless. And we need an audacity. We need a spiritual audacity. The society in which we live is increasingly selfish, increasingly immoral, increasingly wicked. We live in a time when there is a very brazen openness about that which is wrong, about that which is wicked and vile. And people are very bold in supporting that which is anti-God. We live in a time when people who are very sinful and rebellious and ungodly and degrading and filthy and vile, they live that kind of life, and they're becoming more and more bold all the time. And as they become more and more bold, it seems that God's people become more and more passive. We need a spiritual audacity, a spiritual courage, a spiritual resolve. We live in a time when those who promote the agenda of filthiness, those who promote the agenda of defilement and vileness and wickedness, again, they are becoming more and more bold. We live in a time when those that promote that which is offensive and repulsive to God and offensive and repulsive to anyone who loves God and fears God, they're becoming more and more bold all the time, and more open with their sin. We live in a society and culture that is filled with adultery, and people are proud of it. Filled with fornication, filled with immorality, filled with uncleanness, filled with idolatry and hatred and stealing and lying and cheating and on you could go. And they're very bold in these things. We live in a time when those who consider good evil and evil good are increasingly more and more brazen. And in a time when those who try to take a stand along biblical lines are more and more ridiculed and more hated. They don't just disagree. Those who are pushing the devil's agenda tonight, they don't just disagree with you and I, they hate us. They despise everything that we stand for. They despise everything that Jesus Christ represents. Everything. There is an utter disdain. And we see the same situation that we read of here in our text. But these men and this first church possessed a spiritual audacity, and they displayed a spiritual audacity. So there they are. They're living in the very midst of ungodliness. They're living in the very midst of difficulty. And they had the audacity. They had the boldness. They had the fearlessness about them. They had the courage, they had the grit, They had the backbone. They had the fortitude. They had the resilience. They had the toughness. They had the resolve. They had the steadfastness. They had the determination. They had the perseverance. They had the endurance to continue to be what God wanted them to be. That's audacity. And that's what we need. That's what we need today. These individuals were willing to stand all alone for the truth. Willing to stand all alone for what was right. It didn't matter who opposed them. We need that audacity today. We need to be willing to take those risks. These men were willing to risk their lives. Yet today we've got people who are considered faithful who aren't even willing to risk their job for the cause of Christ, let alone their life. We need this audacity. So we want to look at these men. These were men, Peter and John, and also the first church, who had the audacity to live in such a way as to manifest that they had been with Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 13 of chapter 4, Acts 4, verse 13, the first verse we read this evening. When they saw the boldness, the audacity of Peter and John, they immediately thought that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But they also couldn't help but notice something else. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. That is, they knew that these men were disciples of Jesus Christ. They knew that for two reasons. One, I believe they saw them with Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ lived upon the earth. Number two, they could tell by the life that they lived that these men were followers of Jesus Christ. That these men had spent time with Jesus Christ. We need to have the spiritual audacity to live in the very midst of a society who is given over to their own ways and their own philosophies, that we represent, that we are followers of Jesus Christ. We have to have the audacity, the courage, the boldness, the resolve to live a life that people will recognize there is a follower of Jesus Christ. We need that today. But so many of God's people today, you can't tell the difference between the way they live and the way a Christ denier lives. We need men. We need women, we need husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and young people who have enough audacity to be unashamedly identified with Jesus Christ by the way they live their life. We need to have the audacity to live our life in such a way that identifies us with Jesus Christ in the workplace, in our neighborhood, at school, wherever we go. We need to have enough audacity where people can easily see that we are identified with Jesus Christ. If you're going, young people, if you're going to go away to a godless institution that teaches nothing but humanism, at least have the audacity to stand for the truth. At least have the audacity to be identified with Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of that. But you see, we send our young people off to these universities and they just kind of fit in and they're afraid to be identified with Jesus Christ. People go to work, same thing. They're afraid. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? There's no need to be. We need to have enough courage to settle in our hearts and minds tonight. I am going to live in such a way where everybody will know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. They may not like it. It may cost you some things. But you see, that's what audacity is all about. The willingness to take that risk because of what we believe. We see also these were people who had the audacity to speak the name of Christ. We see that in verses 17 through verse 20 of Acts chapter 4. We read those verses for our text. We see that in verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Christ. And their answer was, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And oh, that we would have the audacity to boldly declare the name of Jesus Christ. To boldly declare the name that is above everything. We live in a world that is more and more bold in their ridicule of Jesus Christ, and we need a people that will stand up and boldly declare Jesus Christ as He's represented, as He's taught, as He's manifested in the Word of God. We need that tonight. We need that audacity. We need that courage. What in the world, I don't know when it happened, but somewhere along the line, the majority of God's people got it in their hearts and got it in their minds that they need to be quiet. We've been quiet long enough. And look where it's got us. We need a spiritual audacity. Do not be ashamed of the truth. Do not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We need this courage. We need the backbone to preach Jesus Christ. Those people, these were people who had the audacity to boldly declare that God and what God said took priority over the commands of man. Again, verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In verse 19, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. They had the audacity to say. And these men had the power. These men had the authority to lock them up. And they had the audacity to say, we are going to listen to God before we listen to you. God takes priority, is what they're saying. That takes courage. And we need that courage. In the workplace, you need that courage. Take a stand. Those who go to school, you need to have the courage to take the stand. The audacity to say, God has priority here. And I'm on God's side. Come what may. We need that audacity today. We might have the audacity to make the commandments of God a priority. The audacity to declare that it is our intent to obey God. First and foremost. You see, these individuals were not governed by the world's principles. They were not governed by the world's standards. They were governed by, thus saith the Lord. And that's what we need tonight. We see also that these were people who had the audacity to be identified with the faithful of God's people. Notice verse 23 of chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company. They went to their own company. They identified themselves with the faithful of God. And oh, for the audacity tonight in the midst of rebels against God to be unashamedly identified with God's people, to be unashamedly identified with the faithful of God's saints, to be identified with those who still think sin is sin, to be identified with those who are willing to denounce sin, to be identified with those who still believe and still preach and still practice the old paths of living. That's who we want to be identified with. But it takes some audacity to identify yourself with such tonight. Not here while we're in this building, but I'm talking about when you're out there in the world, in the midst of the ungodly, it's going to take some audacity to identify yourself with those who stand for the truth. You send your children to work, you send them to school, and you say, now just keep your opinions to yourself. You think that's good advice? I think it's terrible advice. Why not send them off and say, you stand for what's right? And when you have the opportunity, you do so in a mannerly way. You do so in the best way you can. But you stand for truth, and you declare the truth, and you let them know where you stand. That's what we need today. That's what we need. And these men had the audacity to believe, to preach, and to practice what the world ridicules today. We could have a whole separate message. But we want to be unashamedly identified with those who are on God's side. And that takes audacity in the day in which we live. We see these were people who had the audacity to worship God in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Takes audacity. Takes courage. Takes resolve to be faithful to God's house. To support the worship of God's house. But I want you to notice also, they were a people that had the audacity to pray. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 there tells us to come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's audacity, boldness. We need the audacity to pray. And I believe to a large degree God's people have lost their boldness in prayer. Notice here in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Someone threatens you, someone opposes you, someone opposes the truth, take it to the Lord. That's what they did. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we may speak thy word. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They had a boldness, they had audacity. We need to, as we live in this world, we need to be constantly just bowing our heads, looking up to heaven and praying to God. And bringing folks before the Lord. Bringing their sin before God. And we need to ask God, Lord, be merciful to them, but God, stop it. Put a stop to it. We need the boldness to pray. And we need the boldness to let folks know we're praying for them. When they're living ungodly, wicked lives, let them know that it's wrong. Let them know that you're praying for them. Well, if I do that, I'll lose my job. You need some backbone. You need some audacity. If I do that, I'll get kicked out of school. You need some audacity. It's what we need today. Spiritual audacity. It's what our churches need. Spiritual audacity. These were people that had the audacity to declare the word of God boldly. Notice verse 31, in the latter part of the verse, they spake the word of God with boldness. They went forth unashamed, to declare, thus saith the Lord. All of those today that are promoting the devil's agenda, what is it that they need to hear? They need to hear, thus saith the Lord. They need to hear that. And the world is not going to tell them that. There's only one group of people that can tell them that, and that are those who claim to believe. Thus saith the Lord. That takes courage. That takes boldness. This is what the sinful and the rebellious and the ungodly and the filthy and the vile, this is what they need to hear today. They need to hear their need of salvation. They need to hear what God has to say. Those who hate the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and disdain them and are opposed to them, what they need to hear today is, thus saith the Lord. They don't need our silence. They need to hear what God has to say. We can't just ignore what they say. We can't just ignore their lifestyle and mind their own business. Church has been doing that for far too long. God's people have been doing that for far too long. We need an audacity. We need the spiritual audacity to boldly and fearlessly and without shame and without apology to declare the word of God to a people who have stopped their ears to the truth. It is our responsibility to declare the word of God. Are they going to hear it? Probably not. Are they going to like us for it? Probably not. But that has nothing to do with anything. We are to simply declare what God has to say. In a day when there is a widespread desire to be loved and accepted, we need to have the audacity to take the risk to be hated. I mean, it goes through me. It bothers me greatly. When someone, they want you to go talk to their dying loved one who's about to go to hell, and they'll say, well, you know, just don't say this and don't say that. Well, why don't you talk to them then? They're dying. They're going to hell. They need to hear the truth. Well, I don't want to make them mad. They're going to hell. And you don't want to make them mad. That should be the least of your concern. God help us. We need an audacity. Again, I'm not talking about rudeness. I'm not talking about rude behavior. I'm talking about courage. I'm talking about being bold and fearless in declaring the truth. God. I couldn't sit and listen to some of the nonsense that is spewed in universities. I couldn't do it. It's not in me to sit and listen to it without saying something. Well, you know, we've just got to keep quiet. Is that what God would have you do? Is that what Paul would have done? Is that what John the Baptist would have done? I don't think so. They would have spoke. And they would have been thrown in jail. And they would have been stoned. And they would have been whipped. But they were willing to take those risks because they had an audacity that is greatly lacking in our day. In a day when the gospel of positive thinking and self-esteem is so popular, we need the audacity to tell folks that they're sinners. That they're sinners before God. That they're wicked. They're guilty. And they're worthy of condemnation. And except they repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to be eternally condemned. We need the audacity to tell them this. In a day of political correctness, we have a society that has allowed the godless the godless liberal left to boldly declare their view of the truth without God's people saying anything. That's a shame. When they declare their so-called view of the truth, they need to be told what the truth is. And the only ones who can tell them are those who know the truth. You cannot expect the government to do the job of the church. You cannot expect the government to do the job of God's people. We have the truth. And we are the only ones who can tell them the truth. The only ones. But we've lost, to a large degree, God's people have lost their boldness, their fearlessness to declare the truth. These were people who had the audacity to believe. They believed. We need the audacity tonight to believe. To believe what God says. And not to keep it to ourselves. When you're amongst your loved ones and they're spewing all their foolishness and godlessness, and you sit there with the truth and you keep it to yourself because you don't want to offend anybody, you have offended somebody. The Lord. We need to speak up. And we need to teach our children to speak up. I'm not talking about being disrespectful. But I'm talking about taking a stand. And not being afraid to believe something. Having the audacity to believe. They knew. These men knew that what they believed was true. They knew that. I had a church member not here one time tell me, "Brother Dan, you believe you're right." Yeah. That's true. I don't believe I'm wrong. Might be. But I don't believe I am. I'm not going to preach something that I believe is wrong. I'm going to preach what I believe is right. Till God shows me different. Today we have folks that are afraid to believe. Afraid to believe the truth. Because if I believe this, then I'm going to have to do this. Exactly. And that might, and doing this is going to involve some risk. That's where the audacity comes in. We need spiritual audacity. We need the audacity to love the Lord. Do you have enough courage to love the Lord more than anyone else? And to let everyone know that He comes first. That takes courage. It takes courage. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had this audacity. John the Baptist, he had this audacity. When he stood up and told Herod, "It's unlawful for thee to have her as your wife." It took some audacity. Caleb, on and on we could go. The list is almost endless of men and women who had spiritual audacity. We need to be a people who have the audacity to love the Lord. To have the audacity to love the Lord in such a way that it boils over in our hearts and it fills us with excitement and it fills us with enthusiasm. We can't keep it to ourselves. Don't be ashamed to let folks know that you love the Lord. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed to let your friends know that you love the Lord, that you're going to put the Lord first. Don't be ashamed to let your teachers know, your boss know, and whoever else. But you love the Lord. We need this audacity. In a time when society, culture, and the world have adopted the devil's program and are becoming more and more bold in promoting the program of the devil, and more determined that we too accept and embrace their philosophies. And in a time when the vast majority of professing Christians have grown cold, the enemy is getting more and more bold, more and more fearless. And for the most part, God's people have grown cold, careless, lax, and indifferent toward the things of God. They've lost their desire. They've lost the intensity. When you were first saved, you didn't care who knew it. Didn't matter. What a shame if we lose that intensity, that earnestness, that fire, that zeal, that passion for the Lord. Again, the enemies of truth are getting more and more bold, and God's people are becoming more and more passive all the time. All the time. I'm sorry, but if I have a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, whatever, and they start promoting the devil's agenda, and they start telling me that homosexuality is okay, and that adultery is okay, and that fornication is okay, you have a responsibility to say something. You have a responsibility to say, no, it's not okay. And tell them why. We need that audacity. You say, well, it's at work and I don't want to take up that time work. I understand that. As soon as you punch out, let them know. Let them know. No longer in company time. Let them know the truth. But I'm afraid many times God's people, they sit and listen to this. They don't say a thing, and people think, well, they agree with me. I don't want anybody to think that I agree with that. And the only way I can be sure of that is if I tell them. That's not right. That's wrong. We need that audacity. We can't be afraid to declare what we believe. A people with spiritual boldness, spiritual fearlessness, people with courage. The days in which we live, we need boldness. We need fearlessness. We need courage. We need some backbone. We need some men who have some backbone. We need some young people that have some backbone, that have some convictions. Don't be afraid to have convictions. We need convictions. Convictions is something that we're willing to die for. We need that today. You know, many pastors today, they've lost that audacity. Well, if I preach such and such, I'll likely be looking for another church. So be it. We have to be willing to take that risk. We need that audacity. We all do. Whether it be a pastor, whoever it might be, doesn't matter. We need this fortitude, resolve. We need to resolve in our hearts and minds, I'm going to do what's right. Whatever the world is doing, I'm resolved tonight, I'm going to do what's right. However else the world's raising their children, I'm going to resolve to do it God's way. I'm going to resolve to have a marriage patterned after God. We need to resolve. We need determination. We need steadfastness. Perseverance. Willing to endure some hardships. But we're going to stand. As you see, we live in a time when folks, they don't have the ability to endure any hardship. God help us. Stephen was stoned. The Apostle Paul was stoned several times. And on we could go. But you see, these were men who had audacity. They were men who had courage. And as you read the Word of God, every command to be strong is a command to have audacity. Every command to be steadfast. Every command to be bold. Every command to have courage. Every command to continue on. And there's many of them. Many such commands. All of these are simply a call to spiritual audacity. That's what we need. Tonight, we need to be a people that believe this book, and we are not afraid to tell anybody what we believe. Again, I'm not talking about being rude. I'm talking about standing up for what we believe. Standing up for our convictions. The truth is, many of God's people need to take an inventory and ask themselves, what is it that I believe? What is it that I believe? We need to determine that tonight. What is it that you believe? Don't just believe it because that's the church's stand. Believe it because God has shown it to you. And once God has shown it to you, you stand for it. And you don't back down. That's audacity. And that's what we so desperately need tonight. Again, I respect someone, even if they don't know much, they stand for what they know. That's good. That's all we can do. You know some spiritual truth, you stand for it. You be bold, courageous. Because I'm telling you, the day's coming when it's going to take even more courage than required right now to stand. Courage is going to be required. Steadfastness is going to be required. And we need this spiritual audacity in closing. We need it for the sake of our churches. The Lord's churches are going to continually get weaker unless a group of people stand up and say, that's it. We're not going any further from the Lord. This is where it stops. We're going to get right, and we're going to stand for what's right. If it costs us half the membership of the church, so be it. We're willing to take that risk. We need that kind of audacity. If it makes so-and-so angry, so be it. If they get angry enough to leave the church, so be it. But we need to determine we're going to do what's right. We're going to stand for what's right. For the sake of future generations, we need spiritual audacity. For the sake of your children, for the sake of your grandchildren, we need to have some courage. We need to have some boldness in declaring the truth. and also for the sake of the truth, for the Lord's glory, we need to stand. Oh, how we need to stand today. And it's so sad to see churches who once stood no longer stand. That's sad. And that can happen anywhere. All it takes is for a people to keep quiet. That's all it takes. I don't care if this church begins to go astray doctrinally. Somebody needs to have the audacity to stand up and say, just wait a minute. Just wait a minute. I mean, if a pastor begins to go astray doctrinally, then it's time for somebody to stand up and say, wait a minute. You say, I do that, I'll get disciplined. You might. But that's what audacity is all about. You say, you know they're going astray, you need to hold, wait, just wait a minute. Well, he's our pastor. We've got to follow him. You don't have to follow him in there. As soon as he begins to go astray, you need some people with some audacity, some people with some courage to stand. And God will bless. God help us tonight, that God would give us the courage that we need. You know, people will say all the time, it's just not my personality to talk to somebody about the Lord. I'm sorry, I disagree. I don't believe you're telling the truth. It's in your personality to talk to them about anything else. You can talk to them about the Lord. Well, I'm not comfortable doing that. You know why? Because you don't do it enough. You do it enough, you begin to enjoy it. Telling folks about the Lord. Telling them what they need to hear. And they may ridicule you. They may mock you, they may make fun of you, they may shun you, but almost without fail, when they have a tragedy in their life, guess who they're coming to? Because they know. They know you won't tell them wrong. They know you'll tell them the truth. What a compliment. What a compliment. That people will come to us because they know we'll tell them the truth. And that people won't come to us because they know we'll tell them the truth. I like that. It doesn't bother me a bit. If somebody doesn't come to me because they know I'm going to tell them the truth, that don't bother me. And don't bother me if they come because I tell them the truth. But we need to stand. We need to stand for the truth. That God would help us tonight to have that audacity. Young people, you need courage. You need courage. You need boldness to stand for what's right. Stand up for what's right. To stand against what's wrong. We need that tonight desperately. Larry, if you'd come and lead us.